Okay, so I want to welcome everybody, of course, as we start. I think we're having another 11, 12 classes this week. We hope we'll see you. Please invite a friend. And Bakasha, Rabbi Liebtag, with Lag BaOmer this week. So we're going to do Tehillim and Lag BaOmer and see what we come up with. We're all looking forward. Thank you very much.
So our series, we're talking how both Tehillim and Chumash help us we can understand Tehillim better by studying Chumash, but we can understand Chumash better by seeing Tehillim. So we're going to see two Prakim today. But one relating to Sfirat HaOmer. And I'll begin with a question, see if anyone, before I share the source sheet. There's a minug when we say Sfirat HaOmer. You can't just say Sfirat HaOmer and make a bracha and that's it. You have to do something extra, correct? So what's a minug? What do we do extra? Yeah? What do we do extra after saying? We say something from Tehillim, don't we? Okay. That's short. That's a short version. What do we do after that? Maybe only Hasidim? No one has a minug?
49. Psalm 49.
Oh, no. You're close. Not Psalm 49. Why would you think Psalm 49? Because it's 49 days in the Sefirah. It's actually Psalm 67. Right? But it has 49 words in it. So you're close. Psalm 67 has 49 words. So that's the Kabbalistic reason for saying it. We're going to find the biblical reason for saying it, okay? Now, and how many of you daven Edot Mizrach? Edot Mizrach or even Nusach Sfard? Anybody? Don't be afraid. It's not nothing to be embarrassed of. Your minhagim are much better, in my opinion. Tehillim Samach Zayin, we'll see it soon, Lamasech. You say every day before Baruch Shamar. Yeki said every Mitzvah Shabbos before Marv. Okay? Sfarim say every day before Mincha as well. Ashkenazim say it every year, every month at Kiddush Levana, at the end of Kiddush Levana. But it's a good parak. So I want to explain to you why we say it after Sfirat HaOmer. And we're going to use this parak to understand Chumash and use Chumash to understand this parak. Okay? So first we're going to read the parak. And see if you remember it. Let me check the chat real fast. Okay. That chat's smaller. Okay. Rabbi Jay, my connection's okay? We're good. Okay.
So fine. Yeah.
Okay, we're good. We have to think where we are. And here we are. Chat number 10. Okay. So in honor of Lag BaOmer, we're going to study chapter in Tehillim that we say afterwards, chapter 67. Okay? So when you count words, you don't count the first line because the first line is just the header. And that's it. You don't need more share. Got it? And there's more. I'm sorry. I'm giving something away. Up, up, up. Here we are. Here's the whole parak. From Pasuk Bet, the header is 49 words. You can count them to double check if you're bored. Now, let's look at the first line. First, let's read it. We'll do like in class. We'll read it and then we'll translate and then we'll go back. Okay. Elohim Yochanenu V'Yavarcheinu. What should God do? God should bless us and be gracious to us. Shine His light upon us. So all the land knows God's ways. All the nations should know His salvation. And then you do Chamim Elohim, you do Chamim Kulam. This up until this point, does it look familiar to most of you?
Yes.
Yeah. And you can probably sing the Nusach from Mitzvah Shabbos. Some shul sing it. Yeki sing it. It's a very popular one. Okay. Now. Look at the first line and tell me in the chat or someone can say out loud, what does Pasuk Bet remind you of in Chumash? It's a prayer. What are we praying for?
It's Birchas Kohanim.
And which words of Birchas Kohanim?
Be'er Panav.
Any other one?
Chaneinu.
And? Barchenu. Yeah. It's almost like plagiarizing, but no, Tehillim can do that. But now there's a reason, what's it saying? There's a reason we're praying to God that He should bless us, but we're giving the reason why God should bless us. Why? V'dat be'eretz darkecha, v'chogem yishuatecha. Now, what's Derech Hashem? What was Derech Hashem before the Ramchal wrote his book?
Mishpat Tzedek.
That was last week's shir. Just to remember, we did last week. Yeah, let's go back to last week. This is how we're connected. We're, we did Tehillim last week was Tehillim Kufav, wasn't it? There was a commandment to praise God, but who's worthy of praising God? We said, remember? Okay. And Ashrei Shomer Mishpat, Oseh Tzedakah B'chol Eit. And then we say, well, we don't deserve it. And then we ask God to forgive us so we can do it right. Again, remember, that was last week's topic. And I proved Derech Hashem from the story of Sodom. Which, and we made a big deal about it because it's the last time in Chumash that God speaks to himself. It's here. Remember, God spoke to himself over and over again in the first 11 chapters, which was universal. Keep this as important. We did this last week, right? I told you we'd continue it. In the first 11 chapters of Sefer Bereshit, at every major point in God's relationship with humankind, right, he talks to himself or to his board members. Somebody called his board members the what the Chazal called the Beitin Shamala, whoever they are. But definitely not man, someone above. Because he, before he makes man, remember, Nasadam B'Sameinu, before he kicks him out of Gaden, Hayin Adam Yachad Mimeno, to be like one of us. Migdal Bavel, remember, let's go down and see what's going on. And in many other cases, before and after the flood, and when he makes woman, he talks to himself before, either talks to himself or talks to his board members. Consistently in the first 11 chapters, which are universal, never afterwards, except once, in his conversation with Avraham Avinu about Sodom, which is about how God interacts with other nations, how he expects them to be good, if they're bad, they'll be punished, and therefore God's going to check out and decide, deliberating, should you should not destroy Sodom. And that was the last time that God speaks to himself, where God said, can I hide from Avraham what I'm about to do? Because Avraham's going to become this great nation and bring blessing to other nations. You see the connection between universalism and particularism? This has to be my topic because in England, everything's in honor of Chief Rabbi Sacks, Alav Shalom. And that was like his biggest topic, if you know his books. You know, the connection between the Jewish people and other nations, that's like, you know, dignity of difference. Every book, I'm sure Rav Alex gave a whole course on that, didn't he? Rabbi Jay? Okay. So it's all, you got it all from Chumash.
Seven-part series. Rabbi Yisrael gave seven-part series in the summer. Yeah.
But the theme is all right here, that we're chosen for the sake of other nations. Okay. But what do we have to do? And this is the last thing God says to himself about why he chose us. Remember? When he picked Avram, Beschalo Gagdol was when he picked Avram Avinu to bring blessing. Because God came to know him, that Avram would command his children, their children, the Shumru Derech Hashem, the way of God, to do Tzedek U'Mishpat. That was the end of last week's share. Now we're going to translate that. Tehillim is going to translate this at a very practical level in the concept of blessing. It'll help us understand Birkat Kohanim and how it relates to both universalism and God's special relationship with us. So that was, and on top of that, this is the last time and one of the only two times where God has a dialogue with our forefathers. God only has dialogues with Avram, not with Yitzhak and Yaakov. He gives them commands and that, but a dialogue is only twice with Avram Avinu. The first dialogue is Ben Aptarim, and the second one is the story of Sodom. Those are the big dialogues where we understand why we're chosen and the purpose of our history. Now, and therefore, it's got to be a big theme. Now, if this defines Derech Hashem, how we have to act, don't be surprised that we want God to bless us. We want other nations to know, you know, if God blesses us for keeping Derech Hashem, then if God will bless us, let's go back to our Tehillim. That was, why will God bring Yeshua to any nation based on their behavior? Then they'll collect the behavior. Right? Now, if God will bless us when we behave properly, and other nations see that the correlation between the blessing of our produce and our life and our security as a function of our deeds, then what will happen? Yadu chamim Elohim, yadu chamim kulam. Other nations will come and recognize you. Got it? And they'll be happy. Why? Because they'll see that God judges people with equity. And then the same word, lumim, b'aretz tamchem sel, he'll guide them with righteousness. And got that idea? Because people want to have trust that there's a just God. Now, we repeat the same word again, Yadu chamim Elohim, Yadu chamim kulam. Now, notice that this, Pasuk Dalet and Vav are the same. You should have enough experience. Now, what's that going to tell you? why would Tehillim repeat the same pasuk twice? It's going to be key of something. Anyone want to suggest? Remember we talked about what's the title, what's the structure, what's the point? This is something structural, right? When I repeat a pasuk twice, what do I have to look for?
Emphasis.
It's emphasis, but it's emphasizing what's in between. But it's also going to be what's called an envelope structure. See that? Now, if Dalet is going to match above, then maybe Gimel match Zayin, and maybe Chet will match Bet. See that? Let's try it, okay? Well, let's finish the parak, okay? Ersa Nayivula, the land will give its produce. Why? Because God will bless us. If God blesses our land when we keep his mitzvot, then the land will give its produce if we keep his laws. And therefore, by God blessing us, and then other nations will come to fear him. See the connection? Now, let's see if Pasuk Bet, if Dalet, let's use all our tools here from Zoom. As long as God gave us Zoom. Here. If Dalet matches Vav, Gimel should match Zayin, and Bet should match Chet. Let's see if that works, okay? That Elohim Yechonenu, Yevarchenu, that God should bless us. And what? Yevarchenu Elohim, Yerotok of Se'aret. So it's, if God blesses us, other nations will see and learn to fear him. Okay? Why? Ledat Bar Sarkecha Bachim Yishotecha. If what? But Yeshua, that God, the land gives its produce because of God's blessing. That matches. And in the middle is the key point. It's called a chiasm. See that? This is A, B, C, D. CBA. Now, if you've ever happened along a Sephardi sitter, they pick up on this. Let's clear our screen. Just tell me if you've seen these in any shul anywhere. Mouse and go down. You ever see this menorah anywhere?
Yeah.
Who's seen this in your Sidurin?
I did, but I don't know how to contact you, and I'm not there.
Almost all of you have seen this somewhere, haven't you? Sometimes you have Shivit Yashem Negit Tamid. Oh, here it is. Shivit Yashem Negit Tamid on top. Right? Now, in case you didn't notice, now, in every Edot Mizrach Siddur, it's before Baruch Shamar, because that's when they say it. But they have this picture also. And there's all different, and not exactly this one. Everyone has a menorah of some type, all different shapes. Google it. Do Psalm 67 menorah. And you'll see like probably 30 different ways of drawing the menorah. But you see what parak's inside? Let's make it a little bit bigger. It's our parak, isn't it? Lamnatseach, it's a tricky here. Lamnatseach bin gut nizmoshir. Okay? But here, here's our pasek. Let's do a spotlight here. Okay? Here, yoducha mim elim, yoducha mim kulam. Yoducha elim amim, yoducha mim kulam. See that the middle, the second branch? It's the same. This is Pasuk Bet and Pasuk Chet. This is Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Zayim, Vav and Dalet. And in the middle of the menorah is going to be Pasuk He. Isn't that showing the chiasm?
Yep.
That's a menorah. Now, why a menorah? What does the opening line of a Birkat Kohanim have to do with a menorah? Anyone take a wild guess? What would be the connection between a menorah and Birkat Kohanim?
Oh, that's Aaron's, you know, famous reward to light the menorah.
Reward or because you know Parsha
Balot. Oh, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
how about responsibility?
That too.
Because his main job is to teach Torah, right? And kiner mitzvah b'Torah or lighting a menorah is symbolic of the Kohanim's job to teach Torah, to give light. Ever since day one, I think, right? The ability to perceive God is light. Now. So again, you'll appreciate what now this is the mizmor we sing here. Now, before I go any farther, let me turn off the screen for a minute so I can see people. How do I turn off my screen? I gave an analogy about when you're in someone else's office with your computer, it's like driving someone else's car. Like, you know how to drive a car, but you know, where's the windshield wipers? You know, where's the cruise control? You get all mixed up. So I'll be a little sloppy today. Is there any connection between Sefirat HaOmer and the blessing of agriculture? Erstan Ayuvula, you know what that means? Erstan Ayuvula, the vine should give its produce. Is there any connection between Sfirat HaOmer and the produce of the land?
That's when the stuff is harvested. The wheat harvest takes place between Pesach, and that's what we're counting.
Of course, right? In fact, we read it. If you were in Shul and Chutz Laaretz this week, we just read it. I had the pleasure of hearing Parshat Emor twice. Right? Because we're all the things up. So let's take a look in case you forgot. Right? How's, we just read it yesterday, didn't we? It's about the Omer in chapter 23 in Parshat Emor. What did we read? This is all the Zionistic stuff. Vayedaber Hashem Shlomo, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amartem lahem, Ki tova la'aretz asher ani noten lachem, u'gzartem et tzirah. When you come to land and reap its harvest, you bring Omer and you wave it, remember? And then you, for the next 49 days, the next 7 weeks of the grain harvest, we talk about Omer every day. Now, we talked about before that Omer reminds us of the manna experience and that we treat the land, the grain that we harvest ourselves, we treat it as a gift from God. I think we've discussed that before. Definitely somewhere in Torah Moshe we did that. Of how Omer reminds us of calling our first barley. Omer reminds us of the manna experience. And the manna experience is remembering that our food comes from God, but it's a much higher level to plant your own harvest, right? And you do all the work and treat the grain that you grow. You did 95% of the work, you did it, to attribute to God as though it's manna falling from heaven. That's a high madriga. That's treating nature like a miracle. And that was the topic. But going back to our topic, it's clear that the land giving its produce. Here, let's go back to the Mizmor and Tehillim now. Where are we? There we go. Erzna Yivula. Back up. What happened to me? There we go. That was like the bottom line. Erzna Yivula, the land will give its produce because God will bless us. And that'll lead other nations, right, to fear God, hopefully, if they see the correlation between our blessing and our produce. Got it? Now, but we have to see what really brings blessing to the produce. It's, we need to remember that our grain harvest is a function of God's, of nature made by God, and God will bless our produce based on our behavior. We say that every day in Shema. Now, so clearly, that was Sfirat HaOmer relates to the produce of the land, for against all the other minhagim that we have. I should have mentioned before. So we say this right after Sfirat HaOmer every night. We say it Mitzvah Shabbos before we begin a new week. And Nusach Sfar, we say it every day before Pesukim Zimra and before Mincha every day. And I should have mentioned we do it also in Kiddush HaChodesh. And now we have this menorah. We talked about the menorah shape. Okay, now. There's another reason. This is famous Birkat Kohanim, right? Everyone knows it. Just review the words in Parshat Benoso. Katos Moshe, tell B'nai Yisrael. Kot Tavarchu B'nai Yisrael. Here's the blessing to B'nai Yisrael that God should bless them. The first blessing of the Kohanim, following Rashbam, it's not that the Kohanim bless you. The Kohanim say God should bless you. It's the Kohanim bless them that God should bless them. God should shine his light upon them. Okay? We saw those words before. Remember? Hashem Yivarchenu. These two psukim is exactly the opening line of 67. And God should find, we should find favor in God's eyes and let us live in peace. And then listen carefully. The Samud Shmiya B'nai Yisrael, by doing so, to associate my name, God's reputation, will be associated with the Jewish people. Right? By what? By Am Yisrael keeping the Torah. And then that will enable God to bless the people and bless the produce. In other words, by the Kohanim teaching Am Yisrael Torah and associating God's name with the people of Israel and the correlation between that blessing and their keeping the mitzvot, that'll bring God's name. Now, I explained Birkat Kohanim based on Sefer Dvarim. Maybe I'm reading into Birkat Kohanim, something like I claim this, but I want to prove that that's shot based on the Tochacha and Dvarim. What do we have in Dvarim? Okay. Remember, Dvarim, that we have like 22 chapters of Moshe's speech of how we have to behave as a nation. Remember the big speech Moshe Rabbeinu gives from chapter 5 to 26. When it's over, there's a tochacha. If you keep God's laws, if you don't keep the laws. What happens? Vaya, im shema tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha. If you follow God's laws, nishmor l'astok ha-mitzvotav, I'll put you in a leadership position above the nations. Now, here's the source of blessing. If you keep God's laws, right? All these brachot will come and you'll achieve them when you follow God. And I'm going to stop this share and go to a regular chumash because I don't have all the psukim here. And I got to get all the psukim here. Take a look. I'm going to open up, if you have a chumash home, even better. We're going to open up Devarim, Perek Chet. We can see how central this theme is all through Chumash, but remember, Devarim Chaf Chet is like the end of the big speech and it's the beginning of the end of Chumash. Okay. So again, we saw before, if you follow all my laws, all these brachot will come on what condition? Therefore, what really brings blessing? Keeping the mitzvot. The Kohanim teach the mitzvah, and that's why the menorah symbolizes the job of the Kohanim to teach Torah. Remember, look at the word Baruch everywhere. Baruch atah ba'er, Baruch atah ba'sadeh, Baruch privitecha, Baruch tanacha, Baruch atah bavecha. Yiten Hashem betarvecha, kamer lechem negafim. Winning wars. Now listen to Pasachet. Yitzav Hashem yitcha et habracha. God should command his blessing on you. Basamecha, in all your produce. In all your professions. And bless you in the land that God's giving you. Got it? And now you can go back to the other source sheet. Sorry. I should have just stayed there. Sorry about that. Okay. Now we can highlight everything. So we had all those blessings. And now the grand finale. Look how this relates to Birkat Kohanim. Sorry, here we go. Yikimcha Hashem lo la'am kadosh. That should establish you as an am kadosh. Remember, am kadosh is Har Sinai, but them tulim am lechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. You should be established as a nation separate in the service of God. Kasher nishbalach, as he promised you, toward you at Har Sinai. On what condition? Ki tishmor mitzvot Hashem elokecha. That's not enough, but lachta bidrachav. Why am I making a big deal about halachta bidrachav? Remember, ladat barz darkecha. So you have to keep God's laws and now, if that happens, if we're dedicated, keeping God's laws, walking in his ways, and then God blesses us with our produce and our economy for keeping his ways as a nation, what will happen? Then God's name, reputation will be associated with you and they come to fear you. Isn't that exactly Mizmor Samach Zayin? Remember, what was the last line? Let's go back to Mizmor Samach Zayin. Na yibula, God will bless us for keeping his mitzvot. Right? And through God's blessing of us, other nations will come to fear him. And that makes us an Am Kadosh. And that's how we be blessing other nations. I'm trying to show you that you can understand the choice of words in Mizmor Samach Zayin, based on all these themes in Chumash, and based on this Mizmor Samach Zayin, I can understand the themes of Chumash the way I'm trying to interpret them. Got it? They enhance each other. And I'm saying the choice of words in Tehillim reflect these key themes in these sections of Chumash. And in light of this Mizmor, you can see how this Mizmor understood Chumash. And Tehillim is authoritative. That's it. Authoritative. Okay? Tehillim is authoritative commentator on Tanakh. That's our whole series, isn't it? How the Psalms are exegetes. If I'm looking for an authority, like Ramban says something, I can trust them, right? You know, we can trust his Ashkafa and Rashi. So if Tehillim is giving his interpretation of Chumash, I can assume that's an authentic and authoritative interpretation of the theme of Chumash. That's why I want to show you in Tehillim Samach Zayin. Now, so this idea of Birkat Kohanim, I'll show you from other angle. So we have it in Perchat Chet. And then we saw, remember, the job of the Kohanim is to teach the laws to Yaakov. And I want to show you something now cute in Parshat Bahar. Because for those who read this yesterday in Israel, for those who are going to read it next week in Chutz Laaretz, I'll show you the same theme in Parshat Bahar. Let's go back to, let's stop the share and go back to Real Chumash for a second. In Perek Chafei in Bahar, I'm going to use a. No, we have to go back to. We were in Vayikra before. Here. In chapter 23, we had Sfirat Omer and everything. Chapter 25, there's four key sections. What happens? First, we have the laws of Shemitah. The first seven psukim is Shemitah, correct? Nice and simple. That's followed by the laws of Yovel. Seven cycles of seven. You see the connection to Sfirat Omer? Sfirat Omer is parallel to the seventh Shemitah and the seventh and this and Yovel. So Yovel is pasuk chet through chav dalet with all the details coming with it and not to take advantage of it. Finally, bars loti machel lismiki likol ars ki gemet shmatani madi. Now ubochol es achuzatchem tulatidu laaretz in the land of your achuza. Let's see, no one owns land forever. There's a division of the land when we conquered the land to the 12 tribes. Every family got the nachuza. And if you sell land, it's a 49-year lease. Every 50 years, we reset all the real estate. Now, after we have Shemitah and Yovel and have this new economic system about land ownership, we have a derivative of how this affects our day-to-day life. Now, there's going to be three or four cases of someone becoming poor. And I'll use an analogy from Monopoly. You're so poor, you have to mortgage your property. Okay? Listen what word Chumash uses for the land of Israel, an achuzah. Nowadays, an achuzah means an estate, but in Biblical Hebrew, the land you own is called an achuzah. Keep that word in mind. Okay? You lose your achuzah, then what as a Jewish people, a family member or someone his redeemer, who's ideally first a close relative should come and buy back his property. Because if you mortgage your property, you can't build a house, you can't build a hotel, you can't collect rent. Got it? I can't make a living if someone owns my property. But I had to sell it because I had no food on the table. So my goel, my redeemer, enables me to make a living by buying my property back for me. Then I can work. Gula is never step three. Gula enables the next step to make a living. Before I own my land, I can't make a living. Now that I own my land back, now I can work and plant my crops and make a living. That's one possibility. Okay. And then when you buy it back, you do a cheshbon based on the years of Yovel. Okay. But that's different for a year, not a property in a city. There's different laws that apply. Okay. And then we have the land of the Ari Levim. They're the achuzah forever. Okay. And then there's special laws with cities of Levim without going into all the details. Then another example, Kemucha Chicha, okay? And a non-Jew, right, buys his property. So then we have to lend him money to buy his property back, and we lend him money not to take rebate, remember, not to take interest and charge interest. Yeah, remember, et kaspo l'tidla b'neshech, et cetera. Now, we have a beautiful summary. Listen to the summary, and I want you to tell me where it's coming from. Ani Hashem Elokechem, asher tzeiti etchem eretz Mitzrayim, latet lechem eretz Kanaan, v'ot lachal Elohim. Okay? Now it's, I have three examples of someone losing their property and their neighbors, their family members, their neighbors, or anyone Jewish who sees that person in trouble has to redeem the property and help him buy his property back. Followed by this summary, I'm Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan, got it? To be your God. Yodachal Elohim and Eretz Canaan in the concept of Bachuza. Ring a bell to anybody?
Promised to Abraham.
In what context did he promise that to Abraham? In what context did God promise?
It's the old, I know you will do this. You'll teach your children.
This is a different one. This is before then. I mean, for a next door neighbor. Okay? I'm looking for a covenant with Abraham Avinu. Close. He's only one of two. It's Brit Mila, isn't it? Let me just show you in case you forgot. Now, hold on for a minute before you lose this. I'll prove to you this is Brit Mila in a minute. Let's do it now. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll show you. I'll prove to you it's Brit Mila. I can use the same Chumash. I'm going to have to unshare. Here we go. Let's open up just another screen. I'll keep this one open. Open up another Tanakh over here. Here's another one. Sefer Breshit, chapter 17. Without going into all the... know what? Yeah, here. I'm sorry, I did Shmot. Breshit 17. Where are we? Here we are. Remember Avram's 99? What's God tell Avram? Aniel Shaddai? Remember, so Hitalech Lefanev Yatamim? We all remember. The introduction to Brit Milah is how you have to behave. Remember, in contrast to Noach, what he was Tamim. He walked with God. That's what Avram needs to be. Hitalech Lefanev Yatamim. I'll make a brit between me and you. Pruvu, Arbel Kabi Mod Mod. Avram followed his face. Elohim tells him as follows, I'm going to make a brit with you. You're going to be a mentor to other nations. So you're going to have an effect on them. They'll look up to you. Okay. We change Abram's name to Abram for Abraham because Abram and Goyim. And then, again, Pruvu. And I'm setting you aside for the sake of nations. You'll have leadership. And here comes the big brit. There's the keywords. Bakimoti briti benu benecha. I'll establish a brit between me and you and your children forever. A brit olam, an eternal brit forever, unbreakable. What's the brit? Le'ot lachel elokim. Whenever I have the phrase le'ot lachel elokim, it's brit milah, which later becomes brit sinai. Remember, lachel milah, b'ti lachel elohim, the four cups, the fourth cup, the fourth lasham gula. Right? Now, but in order to be a nation in the service of God, I can't be a nation without a land. And therefore, as a vehicle to fulfill this brit, finatati lecha zarcha achrecha et eretz megorecha et eretz kenan la'achuzat olam v'yitid lechad elohim. So the land of Israel is an achuzat olam, where he'll be our God, we'll be his people. And in order to fulfill the brit, I'm giving you this land. Now, as an eternal reminder, as an oath brit, we do circumcision. But the brit, the covenant itself is, I'm your God, you're my people, and the land of Israel is an eternal achuzah that we have in order to serve God, to become his people. Now, remember the word achuzah we had everywhere in this section? It was that every family has their achuzah, and if someone has to sell their achuzah, it goes back after 49 years because of Yovel. Before then, you have to buy, you go El comes and gives them their achuzah back. We had the word achuzah in the land of Eretz Canaan, got it? And the phrase L'chad Elohim. Therefore, now it's going back to what we saw. But what did we just have? How do we apply the law of Yovel to day-to-day life? Someone is in financial straits, has to sell his property. You have to help them. Why? Remember, don't give your, lend them money and don't take rebit, etc. Why? Ani Hashem Elokechem, asher tzeiti etchem eretz Mitzrayim, latet lechem eretz Kenan, brit milah, lo lachad Elohim. Your God. That's all the words of brit milah. Now, how about if you're so poor, not only you have to sell your land, you have no land left, you have to sell yourself into slavery. You become an indentured servant, whatever it's called. It's, you get so poor, you have to sell yourself as an eved. Okay? So the person has no, you own the, his work output, you don't own him. That's the law of Chumash. If you buy a Jewish slave, you don't own him, you own his work output. But he goes free at Yovel. Okay? And then we have what? Get everyone's God's servants. Okay? I took you out of Egypt. Okay? And don't treat them harshly, etc. Now, then it says as follows. When we summarize this one, look at the summary here. Let's say it gets so bad that a non-Jew buys a person into slavery. You have to buy him back out of slavery. Okay? A family member has to do it. Now, when I finish all the laws about what happens when a person sells himself into slavery, I have another summary. That's already Ben Abtarim, and he set Mitzrayim. Got it? Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, remember b'avdu v'nuotam? So you see how beautiful it is in Parshat Amor? In Parshat Bahar? In Parshat Bahar, what do we have? We have the derivative of the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. It sets up a beautiful economic system. But there's an obligation of every other Jew. When a fellow Jew loses his property, we have to help him buy his property back, so he's independent. And our theme is Brit Milah. Okay? If a Jew sells himself into slavery, into servitude to a Jew or even to a non-Jew, we have to buy him back and buy his freedom back. Why? Because of Brit Ben Abtarim. And it's applying our history and how we behave as a people. Now, but that's again an application of the blessing on the land, etc. That's how we have to behave, so people don't suffer. And if we act this way as a society, helping people who are in trouble, then God will bless our land, and we'll see a correlation between the blessing of our land and our economy and the mitzvot that we keep. Just for the fun of it, the next chapter, speaking, if we keep all God's laws, remember in Bukotai, if you follow my laws, then I'll give you rain at the right time, etc. And then Upaniti Alechem, Vibetiachem, Siegen Purvu, Bakimotid Brikitchem. It's all in Parshat Bahar, which goes back to the theme of Har Sinai. Remember, we go from Brit Milah to Brit Sinai, and then Vanatem Mishkani Betochem, Vatokinafshiachem, Vitalakti Betochem, Vaiti Lechem Lem, Vatem Tizil Am. I just want to show you the same thing that repeats itself over and over again. Now, I'll just show you one other example. I told you how that relates back to Brit Milah. Remember, Brit Milah was Hitalech Lefanevi Atamim? I'll just give you another quick example in Tehillim before we go back to, time's almost up. If I go back to Tehillim, this is not in our Siddur, probably it should be. But look at this one. Anyone ever see this question? It's more than David. Okay. It's Psalm 15. There's a question. Hashem, mi yogur bo'olecha mishkan bahar kodshecha? That's a good question, isn't it? Who's worthy of dwelling in God's tent? It's the mishkan. Remember the Omoid? Mishkon shchina, mishkan, bahar kodshecha, the mikdash. Who's worthy of meeting God? Who's worthy of being able to come and visit God? Remember, we're finishing Sefer Vayikra. So we have a whole list of good behavior. But see all these things? What's it saying? It's real short. Olech tamim, po'ot tzedek, speaking truthfully, being straight, not speaking lashon hara, not doing evil to your friend, not embarrassing him, being ashamed when you embarrass other people, honoring people who fear God, keeping your word, again, lending money and not taking interest, got it? Not taking bribes. Osa'ele, people do that, lo yimot lo'olam. See the word lo'olam? That's, you'll stay forever. You'll remain staunchly as God's people if you act that way. Now, who can tell me why is the, this is very universal, why is the first phrase holech tamim? Where's that coming from?
That's Noach.
Say better.
Noach
was a setup, right?
Abraham.
Okay, that's Brit Milah, isn't it? What was the first line of Brit Milah? Noach was a setup to appreciate Abraham Avinu. Noach was chosen for what he was. Abraham for what he needs to be. After Noach, we have Brit Keshet, which is the same, which is also about Brit, where God promises never to bring another flood. But because of Brit Keshet, where he's not going to bring another flood, and therefore he can't destroy mankind again. He can only fix it. In light of that, he picks Avram to start a nation to bring a blessing to other nations. That's how we go from Brit Keshet to Brit Milah and all the parallels that we saw before.
Oh, so Yaakov.
He's an Ishtam, right?
Yoshev Olim.
Yeah, but he needs, but he could use some help in teaching him at the Yaakov. He wanted to be Ishtam. Bikesh Leshevet.
Bikesh Leshevet.
Now, why Poel Tzedek? Remember, that's chapter 17, Brit Milah. Poel Tzedek is chapter 18, Tzedek U'Mishpat, remember? Dober Emet Bevavo. And then good behavior. And it's Kut Kaspo Lo Nitan B'Neshek brings us back to Parshat Bahar, remember? When you lend money to people to buy their property back. So it's a beautiful, I just bring you another example of our title. Tehillim 15 doesn't need a whole share, but it's a classic example of how Tehillim is a commentary on Chumash, isn't it? That's Mamash taking Brit Milah and interpreting it to day-to-day life. Okay, so now let's go back to Omer. I'm trying to show you that in Tehillim Samach Zayin that we saw, that there's a connection between God's special relationship with his people in relation to our agriculture, that God will bless our land. If he blesses our land, the blessing of the land is in correlation with our good behavior and our just society and our kindness, and the way we help each other out, we become a model nation that other nations can learn from. And then God will bless us, and other nations will come in, learn to fear God. That's just to respect us. Remember, other nations will say that we're associated with God, and that will affect their behavior. Which is one of the biggest themes of Chumash, about why we're chosen to begin in Sefer Bereshit, and we see it also now in Sefer Vayikra. So that was the main point I wanted to get across in this year, following our our setup of how I look at Sefer Tehillim to understand things that I read in Chumash, but I'm not sure if really that's the theme. There's no doubt that's how Tehillim saw it. That, you know, connection between God, why God picked the people, and his purpose. Let's finish up our source sheet now. So that was this, the conclusion in Parshat Bahar. Yeah. Now let's go back to, and we had the two, if you have your source, the two concluding lines we had. We had, Kimucha Chicha, Am Hashem, your God took you out of Egypt to give you Eretz Canaan. That was the Achuzah. And then, when you're sold into slavery, that's the theme of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Botani Hashem Elokechem. Now, remember, Tehillim Samach Zayin was Birkat Kohanim, Elohim Yevorchenu, Elohim Yevorchenu, Yochanenu, Yevorchenu, Varakat Nisala, we said it was Birkat Kohanim. So just a quick review of Birkat Kohanim. Bring another example of that blessing idea. You guys know Birkat Kohanim by heart. We saw Birkat Kohanim above. But Sim Shalom, in case you forgot, I'm pretty sure we did this here a while back, but Sim Shalom is a prayer that God fulfilled Birkat Kohanim, isn't it? Remember, in Birkat Kohanim, here it is. Yasem Lecha Shalom. Just a reminder how we did this a long time ago, where Birkat Kohanim ended with Yasem Lecha Shalom, and then we pray to God Sim Shalom. And Tova, we want blessing. And Chen, remember, Bichanenu. Now, the main point that Sim Shalom was making, and that's what I want to get to now, what does it mean, Yer Panav Itanu Sela? He should shine his face upon us. According to Sim Shalom, the Or Panim of Hashem is the Torah. Remember? Because we want God to bless us for Or Panecha. What's Or Panim? Kivor Panecha, Natatalan, Hashem Elokeinu, Torah Chaim Yavat Chesed. So, the Torah enables us to see God. And a way of life of Avat Chesed and Tzedaka Uvracha, the way we act and behave and follow the Torah, that those, the laws of the Torah are God's light that enables us to see and perceive God and understand what he wants from us. And if we follow that, then God should favor us and let us live in peace. So again, Sim Shalom fits the same theme of this idea of blessing. Now, to conclude, where are we now? I have to undo my, go back to my mouse and close up the thing and close up the, not the share. I need to clear the drawing. How do I clear the drawing? Clear. There we go. Now, back to my mouse and our final source. Okay. So, I want to go back to this idea of grain harvest and want to show you that we did Breshit, we did Vayikra, we have to get Shmot back in the middle. This idea that there's a correlation, let me turn off my, unshare my screen for a minute so I can see people. The main message I'm trying to show you that there's a correlation between God's blessing of our agriculture based on our behavior. And in Sfirat HaOmer, when we're bringing the critical time of the year when we're bringing in our wheat. Remember, we have 2 months a year to collect all the wheat that has to last the entire year. And it's a matter of life and death. During Sfirat HaOmer, and we use the word Omer to remind us of the month, etc. But we're worried and we want to remember that God's blessing of our produce is a function of our deeds. And therefore, it should lead us to behave better. Now, that idea that God's blessing is a function of our deeds is not just a little technicality. It's going to be one of the revolutionary ideas of Matan Torah. What did I prove that from? I want to review a share we did in Parshat Mishpatim in one of our earlier series. In case you forgot it, because it relates to about the season between Chag HaMatzot, between Chag Aviv and Chag HaKatzir. So remember Brit Sinai. We're going to be God's people. We have to get the Ten Commandments, our contract. On the same day as Brit Sinai, remember the people got scared? There's three more chapters of laws called Parshat Mishpatim that God gives Am Yisrael on the same day as Mamad Har Sinai. It's called Parshat Mishpatim. They began with laws of how to build an altar and how to serve God and how not to serve God. But then three chapters primarily of laws between man and his fellow man, and then concluding with the Aliyah, with the Shalosh Regalim and Aliyah the Regel. I'll just share my screen again to refresh your memory. Where are we? Here we are, PDF. Put down a little bit. Make this a lot smaller. That's not smaller, it's bigger. Here we are. Make it real small. Parsha Mishpatim. Opa. Yeah. In Parsha Mishpatim, I'm going to show on the small version, then we'll make it bigger. We'll annotate a little bit. Parsha Mishpatim, God begins with laws between God and man. There we are. Annotate. We begin with laws, but not to make Elohei Chesed Elohei Zahav and Mizbeach Armat Aseli, and we end with Shosh V'Galim. In between, we have Mishpatim, we start with Eved Ivri, and then laws of damages, the whole section of the Nezikim. And then we have a second section, which was a whole set of ethical laws. Let's clear this for a second. Go back to my mouse. And what was important, right, that's not getting bigger for some reason. Something's wrong. Here we go. That's it. The whole second section, there was laws that go to Beit Din, the Mishpat, and then we had the Tzedakah section. It began with Begir Lo Toneh Velo Techotzena, if you were strangers in Egypt, and ends with Begir Lo Techatz. Remember, these two match each other. And this one. And in between was a whole set of laws about how to treat other people, the widow, the orphan, the stranger. That goes back to lending money in Kesef Tavet Ami, not taking shochad, returning lost items. There's a whole section. Now, we finished the whole section of ethical laws. And watch what happens. This is back in Parshat Mishpatim. Right? So, my mouse is not good here. Okay. Then it says like this. 6 years work your field, the seventh year Shemitah. 6 days work in the seventh day Shabbat. Remember? Okay. So we have Shemitah followed by Shabbat. Okay. 6 years work your field, the seventh year Shemitah. And then 6 days work to your act, and the seventh day you rest. Again, so your workers have a day of rest. That's the concluding law of the ethical laws, that even Shabbat and Shemitah have a element between man and fellow man. Then we're going to get to the Shosh Regalim. And the Shosh Regalim, they're presented. Remember, they're Chag Aviv, Chag HaChatzir, Chag HaSif, they're agricultural. But before I get to those laws, we have a summary line. B'chol Asher Amarti Lachem Tishmeru, keep all these laws I told you. And don't you dare mention the names of other gods. Not to mention them. Who are these other gods? On the critical times of the agricultural year, people tend to turn to the gods in charge of agriculture. So Canaanites turn to the rain god, the Baal, Tashirat, the fertility god, the Golanism, grain god. And God's telling us, no, don't turn to those gods like the Canaanites did. Rather, on the critical times of the agricultural year, you need to remember that your agriculture is a function of your deeds, which was the whole thing we saw all through Chumash. And therefore, why do I have these three pilgrimage holidays? On the critical times, as soon as their grain harvest begins, I gather in the Beit HaMikdash to remember that God's interaction or God's blessing of the land is a function of our deeds. And then I thank God at the end of that grain harvest and worry about my fruit harvest. My fruit harvest is over in Chag HaSif. I thank God for my fruit harvest and worry about the rainy season coming up with Hoshanot, and that's going to be Sukkot. Got the idea? So there's a deep connection between our agriculture and our behavior. And that was exactly, that was this thing that you see in Parshat Mishpatim, this transition. Keep everything I told you. That's the main difference between idol worship and the Torah's vision of serving God, which we call the roots of ethical monotheism, where the belief in one God, not just believing he exists, but the understanding that God blesses society as a group based on our deeds as a society, as a people, and we're all responsible for one another and we have to help each other out. God says, act properly and nature will work with you. Don't act in a way that got upset. He'll use nature as one of his tools to punish you. Now, if people see that correlation, that'll bring to people recognizing how they should behave. That's different than idol worship, where I press a button and say, I want this God, tell me what this, I pray to a rain God for rain, or fertility God for fertility, or for a, a sun God to give us heat at the right time, or have the crops grow and things like that. In idol worship, there's no correlation between behavior and your ritual. In Judaism, we need ritual, and we come to the temple, but it's to remember that God judges us, this one God who's only one, judges us based on our deeds. And that's a revolution in religion. Now, with that, I want to end with our title of the year, which I hope I don't get in trouble for. Remember, we had this, the other title was, the main year was seeing Tehillim and using Tehillim to understand Chumash and vice versa. Now, on Lag BaOmer, there's this custom of Har Miron. I don't want to get into politics and all the things like that. But, and some rabbis are for, some rabbis against. Again, I don't want to get myself into a machloket. But there's plenty of rabbis pro and plenty of rabbis against. But the danger when the main way you serve God is going to some high place, some high mountain, with special like things. And if you want a blessing, it's bringing, shechting a keves on Har Miron and dancing and singing, which is wonderful. Now, if that experience will be transformative and will make you a better person, that's fine. But if you just see this something magical and mystical and, go to this one holy place and God will bless you because someone else was here and someone else buried there. And it's not transformative in any way. It doesn't reflect at all Parshat Mishpatim and everything we saw so far. Then it can become counterproductive. So there's a value in religious customs of ritual, which are transformative. But when they're lacking any transformative meaning, it doesn't change behavior. In fact, when the people go there and the behavior is not considerate of other people, and and not keeping within law and things like that, and not respecting other people's health and well-being and stuff like that, then that can become a disaster. So it's something to think about on Lag BaOmer. That's funny things. Again, I'm not saying pro or against, but whenever there's even Birkat Kohanim, anything technical, rituals are super important. They're the key to our religious life, but they have to come with meaning. They have to be balanced with their values. And that's why what I'm trying to highlight in the series, when you look at the Prakim, when you take a mystical mizmor that has 49 words in it, like Tehillim Samach Zayin, and say this for mystical reasons to get a blessing, right? When you look at the depth of the parak that Chazal picked, that the Kabbalists picked to quote, it's way more than mystical. It's not just because of 49 words. The whole theme of the parak is the essence of Sfirat HaOmer, where Sfirat HaOmer is reminding us the correlation between our agriculture, the grain that's growing, and our livelihood, and our behavior. So when you understand that theme in Tanakh of Omer and Chag HaKatzir, and the theme of why we're chosen to be a people, and the connection between our being chosen and God's interaction with all mankind, and our responsibility to other nations, then I think the reading that means more is super meaningful at a pshat level, and hence the mystical meaning of it. But I only think when you have only the mystical meaning, that's when you can fall into a trap. So that's why I want to share with you on Lag BaOmer. I think my time is up. I'll take questions real fast. Okay. Oh yeah, we have Simchat Yom Tov. Okay, very good. Alrighty. Any other questions? I didn't see the chat too. My computer's really small here. Anything else? Anything in the chat, Rabbi?
No, not okay. Really.
I have a question.
Yeah, the Stone Chumash, my translation here says, all the people shall acknowledge you. And there's other translation, all the people should thank you.
Thank you for that comment. Or I should praise you for that comment. You understand? Hodaya? When you say modim, mm-hmm. Remember modim? Hodaya? Mm-hmm. Are you thanking God? Are you acknowledging God?
I thought thanking, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
So that's Rabbi Jay has a whole series on the Siddur. When are you going to get the modim, Rabbi?
When I get to modim, we just finished Rabbi Yishmael. And we're introducing these here, by Levit after 31 classes. Yeah. So you tell me what we're going to get.
Remember, Remember, Hodu Lashem Kiruv Yishmo? Does that mean acknowledge God or thank Him? You tell me how they go together. You have to acknowledge, right, that God is in charge, right? And thank Him when He gives you a... You have to acknowledge that God's blessing is a function of your deeds. And therefore, thank Him even when He helps you, maybe even when you don't deserve it. But the acknowledgement, the hodayah, it's not just thank you, it's also acknowledging. It's the recognition of your relationship with God.
So it's both, hand in hand. It's both meanings is what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. It's got a double meaning. When you say thank you to somebody, what's that mean when you say thank you? You're acknowledging that they gave you, or you're just thanking them for what they did? It's a mixture of the two, isn't it?
Yeah.
But look, there's tons of people talk about it, about Hodayah, about Modim. Look in all the Siddur books about Hodayah. Or wait 3 years until Rabbi Jacob's there.
we don't exactly, the Siddur expands, so it intertwines. We're just sort of going through Rabbi Yishmael. But yes, we talk about all kinds of interesting ideas. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Okay, next week back in Israel?
Back in Israel, yeah.
So was there a special minion for the Israelis to hear Parshat Bahar?
No, we're not that.
That's good. I'm glad you didn't do that. Yes, I really think, maybe I shouldn't say it, but I know you agree with me. This shows the weakness of the rabbinate that we had, the weakness of contemporary Judaism that we haven't just said, Achrei Mot Kedoshim this year. We're not waiting to Matad Maseh. The first week we're going to catch up. It's just, I understand that 500 years ago why it didn't matter, but today it's whatever. Okay, that's my personal opinion. Rabbi, you disagree with me or?
No, I agree. It's just sad that there's no rabbinic.
That's what I meant. There's no rabbinic leadership to say a million people, anybody who travels for the next 3 months between Israel and America or London is going to get messed up on either going to they're going to hit one parsha twice and they're going to miss a parsha. It's ridiculous.
When that happens, you have what to pray for Achdut. You don't pray that rabbis will fix it. You pray that we'll be unified enough.
That's correct. That's the problem. Because if you do it, whoever would do it, they'd be considered non-Orthodox,
But it's like looking at Har Bayit and saying, because of the mosque, we can't have the temple. No. Because of the mosque, it's a reminder we're not worthy of the temple. Okay? The mosque is not the Sibah, it's a Siman. No, it's the reason when you see the mosque, if it was gone, we'd have a temple. No, it's there because we're not worthy for a temple. You got my point?
I get your point. I get it. I've heard you said it before. But it's good. The important points need much repetition. That's for sure. Okay. Okay. Tomorrow at 1 p.m., Simi Peters, Megillat Ruth, six classes. We're class number four, I think. It's tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, Mark Shapiro, who is, by the way, he's going to be going just really till Shavuot, and then he's taking off for the summer. The reform, we've got our trips, please God. Our Portugal trip is basically sold out. Maybe we can squeeze in two more people if anybody wants to go, but there is room on our Italy and Spain trips. Please God, after 3 years, we will be resuming our trips through Jewish history. They are fantastic trips. They're really quite beautiful but there are Jewish history trips. So we see a little bit of the general culture, but we focus on Jewish history. I'll throw that out. And then we have all with Shavuos and travel. So Mark's class will be ending before Shavuot. Then we'll resume sometime in the summer, towards the end of the summer. I don't know exactly when. Okay. Then we have all our rest of the classes. Tuesday, both Malka Simkowitz and Michelle Chesner are finishing their series on, ancient Judaism and the book, the Jewish people, the book, but our regular class is continuing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, of course. And this week, Parshat HaShavu will be given by Shira Hech-Kohler of Queens, New York, I believe, works at 929. She's spoken for us in the past, and so that'll be this Thursday night, 8:30. Always please invite a friend. And it's not baltos if you invite two, where there's no prohibition to invite two friends also. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful week, and we look forward to learning with you in the near future, and always open to your ideas and suggestions, and be well, everybody. Thank you. Rabbi Liebdag, have a good trip back. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, I was just listening. I had it on mute.
Oh, that's okay, fine. When are you heading back to Israel? Tomorrow or tonight?
Okay. Tomorrow morning's British Museum. Uh-huh. And then we go back. You can't go to London and not stop in the British Museum.
Yeah, okay. I haven't been to London since 1994.
We have to thank the British for stealing all the things from Iraq and Iran and the whole Middle East, because if they didn't steal it, it would have been destroyed. So sometimes there's always good to do Geneva.
Yes, it depends who you're stealing.
For the sake of mankind, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Okay, enjoy. Your wife is with you, I take it?
No.
Oh, not with you. Okay.
No.
Going to the British Museum on your own.
Yeah.
Okay. Enjoy. Say hi to the queen if you bump into her. Okay. I know they're having some big thing.
Blessed in the shuls. I was having a United Synagogue shul.
They pray for the queen, of course.
Yeah, there's a whole thing on the thing. And yeah. the queen is so nice by staying. There's a whole plaque, in marble, mm-hmm. with the prayer for the queen. So it saves them a lot of money when they have the same queen for 50 years. They don't have to change the prayer. No, the second they'll change her name, they have to change.
Well, so, when I was a kid.
So the Chasam Amanim Shayisra.
Right. When I was a kid, they used to sing God Save the Queen in school until the Canadian National Canada became much more like.
Well, that's it. You guys are part of the Commonwealth. That's right.
Yeah, we're part of the Commonwealth. We used to God Save the Queen. Yeah. So I was never alive in God Save the King. I'm only a God Save the Queen person.
What's the name of the highway from Buffalo to Hamilton? And
the QEW. Very good. Anyway, they named that holiday, that highway. They made it. I don't know if they made it for her or renamed. I think they made it for her when she came to Canada in the 1950s, the Queen Elizabeth Way. If you ever drive when you cross the border at Buffalo, that terrible, killing yesterday in Buffalo, I'm sure everybody heard it, terrible. Mm-hmm. Just, 90 miles away here. To the people who are injured, have a refuah shlema, but you drive on the Queen Elizabeth Way, the QEW, as they call it, the QEW. And every morning on the traffic reports, in New York, you hear, the half an hour delays at the Whitestone and the Throgs Necks and George Washington. In Toronto, you hear the QEW, eastbound,
and the 401.
And the 401, you're good. If you want to go quicker, go on the 407. It's a toll highway, so it's not quite as crowded. The E2, that was the first one in the world, the electronic tolls. Now they have them in a few places. But we were the first ones. Okay, we were the first one with a dome stadium that opens up.
It was the first controlled access highway.
It was the what? I'm sorry?
QEW was the first controlled access highway.
I don't know what that means.
Cloverleaf.
Controlled access highway mean?
With clover leaves. Instead of.
Do you remember when they opened the QEW?
Yeah.
When was it? What year exactly? I think in the 50s, no?
In the early 50s, but it was the first controlled access, even though there were places where it wasn't. You still had until they built the Burlington Bridge, it was, there was a, when ships came through, the bridge opened and you had to stop and wait.
That happened to us once. We actually got caught. The Burlington Bridge was closed. We had to go lower it. This was 5 in the morning, going to visit my kids on visiting day in camp. So we left Toronto 5 in the morning, and all of a sudden we come to the Burlington Bridge was closed. Okay, who's driving it? So we had to go to the bypass, and then all of a sudden a ship came, opened up, and we had got stuck. So wow, I didn't know they still had these things.
That's how it was in the old days. But Queen Elizabeth Way was the first controlled access highway, and then the 400 series became the series for highways. Right. 400 was the first, but. After
the so you got the 407, the 401, the 413, the 409. Yeah, yeah. But the 401 is
was 401, the second one.
For Americans who've never been on the 401, the 401 is a 12-lane highway. You have the local lanes and the express lanes going both ways, 3 lanes each. So it's a 12-lane highway thing, and they're expanding it at certain points.
But it wasn't. It was only a 4-lane highway, and that was what's so special about it. I grew up with it. Behind my backyard.
Yeah, of course.
I grew up before Spaghetti Junction was built, before the Spadina Expressway was built.
Well, I'm a young guy. Thank you. You make me feel very young. I grew up, there was a Spadina Expressway when I was born and all that stuff, The only thing is, I don't remember the Toronto Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup, but what can I do? But, everything has its good and its bad.
As a kid, we had picnics where Yorkdale is now.
Oh, really? Oh, you
it
remember
was a field. Yorkdale? It was an open field.
Oh, wow. That's like a different door. That's like the Frida Gadoiris. Everybody, I don't know why anybody is still listening to this. You know, I mean, you're welcome to say, why did anybody? I mean, for me, a Torontonian talking to all Torontonians, this is interesting. Why anybody else find this interesting? Wild, but Yorkdale, you know, the Yorkdale is, by the way, is I still believe the world's most successful shopping center. It was built by Azrieli, the famous Azrieli family. Yorkdale Mall, it's really still world. I don't know, it's just a phenomenal mall. It's a great location. It's always got this really, really top mall. But anyways, who's been to Yorkdale, right? Who's not from Toronto? Who's been to Yorkdale?
I remember a brush fire.
And you remember, I'm sorry?
I remember a brush fire with 120 Shelbourne.
Oh, 120 Shelbourne, sure. Okay,
there was a brush fire that one.
Now, listen, my kids, I talk about this. I remember when the city ended at Steeles. There wasn't Thornhill. People, what do you mean there wasn't Thornhill? The whole city lives on Thornhill today. You know, anybody under 40, a Jewish from lives on, you know, Kimat, lives in Thornhill. Well, what do you mean there's no Thornhill? You know, that was all farmland. So, you know, everything, every generation remembers, you know, what there was. So the city used to end at Steeles, now goes further. If Mr. Besson is still here, he probably left a long time ago. One of our younger Torontonians online, but he's not here, so he could attest to that. Okay. All right, everybody. Have a great day. And I really appreciate people listening to all the Narishkeis we talk about. But I hope you like the Shir a lot better and much more important. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. It's good to talk about stuff like this. Oh, my goodness, 12 lanes. Yeah, it's not 12 lanes. Like, it's six, but the six are divided by a total barrier. There are only certain places you can get off at the express and the local. So it's not, you never have more than three lanes, like, at one time. It's not as crazy as it sounds. But, you know, it is a 12-lane highway. Okay, and it's crowded. Come in the morning. And you get caught in traffic in rush hour. Everybody knows the theory of building highways. Whatever highway you build, more development goes up, more cars, so it never works. All right. Yom Tov, everybody. Shavua Tov. Thank you.